Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew, and tonight I want to welcome award-winning TV producer, filmmaker, radio talk show host and lecturer, and considered to be an expert in the occult, trauma-based mind control, Illuminati symbolism, and ancient civilizations. Freeman, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, Chris.
Very good, very good. Now, we are living in a basically borderline dystopian society now, and so much extreme changes have occurred just in the past 5 years. And we got so much to talk about, but before we get to that, since it's your first time here, give us a bit about your background and what got you started on your path.
You know, if I tell my story, I could have played it up completely differently, like when I came to present myself to the world. Because once you know my life story, you start to go, man, is this guy in some sort of program? And, you know, after doing some deep research into mind control, you realize none of those people know whether or not they were victims of MKUltra or whatever, you know, Brittany, Anna Nicole, things like that. You don't know. But, you know, my life has been so strange from the beginning. My mom, she was raised by a witch, you know, a healer, if you will. You know, we call her a witch, but, in Europe, that's a whole different story. But, you know, she was like this woman that would go out and do rituals under the full moonlight to heal cows from warts, you know, stuff like that. And that was because my mom was running away from the Nazis. And so she was sent to France. So, you know, that's my mom's side. Then dad, he's a Freemason, was on Killer One Submarine with Jimmy Carter. And then chased flying saucers for Project Blue Book. He was a, you know, worshipful master in the Freemasons. And I didn't know any of this stuff, right? So my life as well, I've always been somewhat genius. And so I'm stuck in these high-level classes in school. And I took this course in elementary school that my family doesn't even know about. I'm like, well, you remember when I was stuck in that room with just like five other kids and we were just given all of this data? There were just note cards after note cards for you to study, and then take, tests on at self-pace. And there was only like five of us in this class. And my parents are like, no, I don't remember anything about that. So I've been, you know, I always wonder like what details were injected into me at that age, because like, I feel I learned that Friday the 13th was coupled with the Knights Templar in elementary school, you know, with that story. So, you know, once my story kind of builds up, it looks a little like, you know, maybe, you know, I've lost time after witnessing a giant UFO over Daytona Beach. And after that event, I started kind of predicting the future, but I've never played it up as like I was abducted and given the future or anything like that, which, you know, a lot of times on television or whatever, you could play these things up, say I went to Mars or whatever, but no. But I did have this UFO experience. And then afterwards I started predicting things, but I never associated these two things. They just kind of happened at the same time because I had very real reasons for why I would predict something. So here I am, my little pool, going through the world. I'm a nomad. I'm someone that just travels around and experiences life in the grandest styles, probably more than I know. Poor little poodle. She's been everywhere. She was on that school bus for a year traveling with me. Let's see if I can get this to the point. So I started to discover things about our planet. You know, I realized my dad was a Freemason, and I started to learn that he was associated with Project Blue Book and then, you know, all this other stuff. And all my life, I've been into this stuff. I thought Akhenaten was a common household term. UFOs, all of that. All my life, I've studied these things. Never once in my life did my dad mention that he was involved. I didn't know about Freemasonry or anything like that until I got to college and I met this crazy magician, and he opened up the doors to Aleister Crowley and Rosicrucians and Golden Dawn, and then he opened Freemasonry. And when I saw the signs and symbols in Freemasonry, I said, well, I know this stuff. And he's like, well, how could you know this? We didn't even know what the word esoteric meant. You know, this is 1991. Right. No Dan Brown, you know, none of that stuff existed yet. Nobody knew about any of this. And you know, this crazy magician in my honors class in college, and he's teaching me all this stuff. So it turns out that that's when I realized, oh my God, my dad's a Freemason, you know, college, right? And I was a late bloomer. I went to college at 25, right? So I find out, I go home, I ask dad, you know, are you in this? And he's like, yeah, and you know, I chase flying saucers. And that's when everything came out. And so I'm in disbelief, you know, my entire life I've been into all this stuff. I never talked to my dad. He didn't talk to me. We never really got along. And I didn't know any of this stuff, right? So, but it seems to be in my genes, right? You know, genetic memory. So I took all that knowledge and I started to wander around the earth with it. And I started recognizing signs and symbols everywhere that related to Freemasonry and such. And one day while I was wandering through Austin, Texas, this guy overheard me talking about how I predicted 9/11 and some other things. And he's like, you need a TV show. And I was like, what are you talking about? You know, I was just there for the weekend. And he's like, no, no, would you do it? I'll write you a check right now for the cost. And you just go sign up, all right? Put on a TV show. And wow. So I'm like, you know, I'm just here for the weekend. You know, I don't live in Austin, Texas. I'm living in my van on 37th Street. You know, they call it Christmas Light Street. And, you know, I'm just here for the hang. And he's like, no, here. And he wrote me a check. And he said, would you do it? And I was like, I'm a man of my word. Give me the check. I'll do it. As a matter of fact, I just happen to have this sitting here because I was working on some art. And all my work's really been art. But I just thought I'd show this off because I don't think I've ever shown it off before. This is the drawing I did to depict my television show. That was me figuring out. So you see all the corporate logos on the screen? Yeah. You know, I knew that would be the first thing that I wanted to teach everyone is Illuminati corporate logos because nobody knew this stuff. I thought it up. You know, that's my baby. I recognized it and laid it out and, you know, so that was my very first TV show and the rest was history from there. The World Wide Web came out because back then it was access television. You know, there wasn't YouTube didn't exist. Google videos had just come about. So my videos started going up on Google video and they went viral. So here I am with lots of ideas and thoughts that I think are very important.
Very fascinating. And, you know, before we get to anything happening today, I'd like to get, you know, I like to get an understanding of where it all comes from. And, you know, I always hear the theories of the ruling families and factions have been in control since the time, the Babylonian times, or even before in the times of Atlantis. You know, based on your research, is that something you would agree with?
Yeah, yeah. It does seem that there are subspecies of human. You know, we're starting to determine there were other species of human, other Homo sapien types. And I really think these guys are some other entities because they just don't seem human. You know, I watch a lot of survival shows and when people kill, they're always like, I'm so sorry, little fish, you know, and they cut off its head and they're so sad about it. But these people, they have no empathy, sympathy at all, right? They're like
psychopaths,
cold-blooded killers. Yeah. But yes, when you start to dig into Freemasonry, you learn quickly that they do relate all the way back to Atlantis. And one of my specialties was ancient civilizations. I loved it. So when I went to university after college, that's what I studied was ancient architecture, and ancient civilizations. So I was really into this. So when you start to look at the ancient past, you look at Baalbek, Lebanon, you look at, you know, any of the ancient structures, you know, from Egypt and around South America, Central America, all of that. It's so beyond the capabilities of the 21st century. And they tell you this in university. They're like, you know, we couldn't build the Great Pyramids today. And I'm certain my professor was a Mason. But, you know, it's true. There's only three cranes in the world that can even lift some of the stones used to build the pyramids. You know, we can't do it. We couldn't do it even if we wanted to. And why would you want to? Why would you build a pyramid, right? So these type of questions really built in, and I have answers, you know, why you would build a pyramid. And so yeah, I do believe from time immemorial, hidden history, and Atlantis is absolutely right on the radar of Freemasonry. They do not hide that one bit.
Yeah. Now, do you believe that they were dealing with, you know, advanced ancient technologies, possibly even beyond what we're seeing today, back in the time of Atlantis?
Right, exactly. And of course, the story of Atlantis is the whole idea that you overcompensate your society with technology, it crumbles and kills and falls on itself. And that's why Atlantis sank. And you couple that with the concepts of Lumeria, which are rarely talked about. And Lumeria doesn't have the solid history that Atlantis does, because Atlantis was written about by Plato, you know, so it gives it some more validity. But Lemuria was supposedly the opposite, where they were all in sync with nature, and then anything the Atlanteans would do to them would come back on them like instant karma. And so the story of Atlantis is this very moment that we're living in right now, which, you know, when we signed up for America, the New Atlantis, Sir Francis Bacon, the Invisible College, had a plan for the creation of this nation. You know, Sir Francis Bacon in the 1700s, and he writes New Atlantis, and you'll even find things in there where he's talking about cloning, you know, things of this nature, not technical terms like that, but in like plant varieties and things of that nature. So yeah, there is an invisible college that guides civilization, whether or not they're, you know, seeking the good or the bad or indifferent. You know, it's pretty bizarre when you start to recognize that there are high profile rituals going on in the mainstream. From my first high profile ritual, which also was in my first film, was Y2K. And immediately at that moment, I'm looking at this Y2K celebration. Now, I already had been through, well, what I would call the Alex Jones psychosis, you know, back in the 90s with the Clintons, you know, they're passing legislation in Arkansas to say that any suicide or any death that looks like a suicide is a suicide, you know, and then there's all these suicides around the Clintons and stuff. Waco was a big wake up. I grew up through Jonestown, you know, that I still have memories of. And then Waco happening. I watched Waco so closely. I knew everything that had happened. I knew people that were there. And, you know, really saw what actually occurred there. And so that was my first false flag, if you will. And not to say that they didn't burn those people to the ground and kill them, but, you know, why and how and when did the ATF suddenly, you know, become a thing? Like, well, none of us knew of the ATF then until that moment. And so I woke with that, with that, and then started to recognize the magical aspects in the Freemasonry and the esoteric and the occult, and this tracking back, you know, to ancient Hebrew, to Kabbalah, going back to even Atlantis, being performed in front of us as a Y2K ritual. And so most people were worried about the computer meltdown, you know, they're like, oh, you know, we're going to lose everything. I'm like, please. But what I knew is, and what I kept saying to people, but they're capping the Great Pyramid with gold. And no one really understood the implications or why this would, like, you know, shock me. And, you know, but, you know, we know Novus Ordo Seclorum on the dollar bill, and the capstone coming down to the top of the pyramid is the work complete. Of course, the capping did not occur. Now, this was, you know, here I am. I'm working at Kansas University at this time. And I'm watching the papers regularly. You know, there were headlines like Milosevic accuses U.S. of using HAARP technologies to cause earthquakes and floods in the Middle East. That was on the paper in USA Today, you know. And I'm pointing this out to all the people, you know, that I'm meeting along in the university. Anyway, where was it going to go? So many things with Y2K that woke me up. But, oh, the headlines. Okay, so they're planning to cap the Great Pyramid with gold. Suddenly, the headline, USA Today, if anyone can find this paper, I've said this on nearly every show I've ever been on, December 18th, 1999, USA Today. Now, realize the USA Today does not database their newspaper like any other paper. They're gone. Once they're done, they're gone. You know, they're not stored in microfiche or in the library in any way, shape, or form. So you got to find some hoarder. It still has 1999 stack of USA Today. December 18th, 1999, USA Today headline read, Muslims stop the Freemasons from capping the Great Pyramid with gold. That was the headline. No one noticed. Yeah. So there I am, sitting there at Kansas University, looking at the University Today, trying to show everybody the importance of this situation. And then as I followed through the whole Y2K ritual, It was this epic ritual to Lucifer, beginning at the Great Pyramids. Well, actually, this one country in South Pacific adopted daylight saving time, so they were the first people to hit Y2K, and they had this tiki hut kind of celebration. It was epic. But I watched the entire, across the entire globe, and I filmed it all. I recorded it all on VHS. Yes, my movies were made on VHS. That's how old they are. So I got all of this recorded, and I'm watching as they burnt the River Thames at the speed of the sun, and they're announcing this as it's occurring, and they did fireworks over the speed of the, at the speed of the sun across the Thames, getting to Heliopolis, getting to Lucifer, getting to the sun rising, all of that. They built the Millennial Dome there next to Big Ben. So Big Ben was the obelisk, the Millennial Dome, the female version. You always need a breast and a penis, right? And so they built the Millennial Dome to complete their whole symbolism for Y2K. But then they also added the eye, right? The London Eye, the big Ferris wheel. Burnt the River Styx. So then we move over into America. And America lights up a light so bright from the Washington, or from, I think it was the Lincoln Memorial, that it was witnessed as if the sun was rising in the west from Europe. That's how bright this light was. And that was a big part of the celebration. So they have this sun rising in the west. That's Horus, or, you know, what people can also connect to Lucifer again. I'm leery using terms. I mean, I try to be very specific in terms. So when I say Lucifer, I'm meaning a whole lot of different things than what generally people think of the term Lucifer. Because for them, it's the light bearer, it's the raising, you know.
And I've also heard you talk about how they kind of worship the nine gods of Egypt as well, as part of, with their doctrine.
That's a whole nother level. Now you're talking about when we're getting into the ritual magic. So you can look at something like the Y2K ritual as a ritual magical act. But what its meaning, or what it was really trying to do, because magic's the trip, right? So all of a sudden I'm studying magic, and the idea of magic is transforming your consciousness at will to make the world manifest what you want. So it's all about how can you get your brain to think what it needs to think in order to make something appear in the real world. And so that was a real interesting concept for me. And when what happened with the whole idea of the nine, all right, the nine gods known as the Ennead of ancient Egypt. That's Osiris, Nephthys, Isis, everybody but Horus is in the nine. And now my brain's like, well, was Osiris in the nine? But anyway, this would be using like channeling or that type of psychic communication with the extraterrestrial, or with these entities, whatever they might be, archetypal forces. And yes, there was the Stargate Conspiracy is a great book on how they channeled these entities and got communication. When you start looking into that, you know, then you find like Aleister Crowley, you go back to his communications with Awas, and you look at Awas and you see a gray, you know, and this is long before we were talking about grays in 47, Crowley's, you know, 1920s. So,
yeah, wouldn't that lamb?
Well, he died. He died right after Roswell, actually. Crowley did.
Right, wasn't the depiction called Lamb?
Lamb, you're right. You're right. Awas was who he communicated with.
Funny you brought up Aleister Crowley. I wanted to ask you. I mean, he is probably one of the most influential people when it comes to the you would say sex, drugs, and rock and roll culture of America. He basically changed everything, wouldn't you say?
He called it, he predicted it, you know, and maybe even magically created it. Might have been the very manifestation of this very thing. But yes, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, you go straight to Jack Parsons and NASA, Jet Propulsion Laboratories, and you got sex, drugs, and rock and roll, you know, and that is following Crowley's way. So without question, they reintroduced Crowley heavily back into our society at about the 90s. Re-releasing all of his books through Llewellyn and reintroduced all of us into a whole new culture that, you know, had been hidden for a long time. Yeah, you know, those Crowley books were really expensive before until they repressed them all. So yes, Crowley was brought back into our attention and these ideas of the beast, you know, that's what he called himself. And there was, there were concepts that he brought forward that go through the Kabbalah, and the Kabbalah deal with like tarot cards. So then you realize that this order of magic is sex magic and black magic. That's the reason they put a K at the end of magic, because K is generally the 11th letter in every alphabet, and 11 is the accursed number to magicians. So Crowley intentionally added K to the end of magic for his style of magic, which was accursed, right? He intentionally said, you know, this is black magic, so we're going to put a K at the end just so you know. And I wanted to go somewhere with all of that. It's easy to lose. There's so many trains, right? But yeah, I kind of
lost.
We're
talking about how he started the basic sex, drugs, and rock and roll culture. How he was, you know, pivotal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I lost the train that I was going with that. The accursed magic, black magic, was the ideas. Oh, I was actually leading to Katy Perry at the Super Bowl. So you can see this in my YouTube videos that we actually predicted what Katy Perry would do at the Super Bowl. And so there's a group. It's the Ordo Templi Orientis. That is the OTO that Crowley helped formulate. He was not their creator, but he came in and he changed it, much like Albert Pike did to Freemasonry. He came in and made it this whole other thing, which was the sex magic rituals, getting deeper and deeper into that. So when it was getting ready for Katy Perry, who we look at, there are certain stars that you look at that are emanating from this magical spell. And Katy Perry's definitely one of those. Miley Cyrus would be another one I would track, you know, Britney Spears, Anna Nicole, and even people like Dr. Dre, or, you know, there's a certain level where you're part of the ritual. And so Sir Enough said, look, if Katy Perry's fit in this scheme, then she will come out in the Super Bowl dressed as the Whore of Babylon, which is in the Crowley world, in the OTO world, riding on the back of a lion, holding a chalice of fire. And I had added into my prediction that there would probably be diamonds involved, because diamonds, according to Fritz Springmeier and How to Create Your Own Undetectable Mind Control Slave, How to Create Your Own Illuminati Undetectable Mind Control Slave is the title of that book by Fritz Springmeier. It's epic. He lists how diamonds are, one, a sign of a high-profile ritual goddess or person, you know, and also a trigger for sleeper mind control agents. So that's what the diamond would be. So it's a presidential model mind control slave, and also to trigger sleepers. And so here comes Katy Perry, and you know, you can go timestamp my video and see that this was said before it happened. She comes out on a big lion, just like the Whore of Babylon. It's the strength card, but in Crowley it's called something else. Lust, I think, is the lust card in Crowley's deck. And she comes out on that lion. That lion's completely made out of diamonds, and she's wearing a fire chalice dress. So she absolutely depicted the Whore of Babylon from the OTO dark magical practices right there on the Super Bowl. Madonna did the same thing, displaying the Mark of the Beast on stage constantly, which most people don't know what the Mark of the Beast is because they don't read satanic works. But if you read satanic works, then you'll see that the Mark of the Beast is the X-Men logo, the X-Files logo. And so that's what the Mark of the Beast, according to Satanists, look like. You know, Christians, it's a chip. But for Satanists, it's the mark, which plays out quite often.
And that brings me to what probably is considered one of the elite's most powerful tools nowadays is celebrities and the media. That's what they're using to get to the youth of America. I mean, that's what the, you know, television is what they've used since television came out for mind control purposes. But now we have cell phones, now we have social media, and they're stepping it up to the next level. Let's talk about that. What do you see happening now with this new level of mind control and the new wave of celebrities?
Yes. 5G frequencies. You can't trust your own emotions. Self-targeted ads that are going to follow you.
Right.
People are currently walking into airports and realizing they don't get tickets anymore, that somehow the airports already have all their biometrics, even though none of us have supplied them. You know, and then you watch the Boston Dynamics killer robots running around, the dogs and the Atlas doing bat flips, you know. We are at the beginning of every dystopian story ever told. Cloning, we have glow-in-the-dark pets, we have, well, they haven't made them pets yet. I want to get in that business. Well, selling glow-in-the-dark cats. You know, what are they going to do with them? You know, they got glow-in-the-dark cats, glow-in-the-dark pigs. Chimera, you know, it's already all around us. And you can have home CRISPR kits. CRISPR is the technology. It does gene splicing. So you can do this at home.
Yeah, it's an amazing but terrifying time we're living in. But let's break down a few of these things. Let's start with, you know, television nowadays. I don't know if you've noticed, but I've noticed that the occult symbolism, they're not holding back as much anymore. It's more in your face now. I've noticed a lot more shows like on Netflix about witchcraft and the end of the world. That's another popular one. So what are some of the things you're seeing in television, movies, TV shows nowadays?
Dare we say white genocide?
Right,
I mean,
yes.
You see this in the commercials. Definitely. You see it everywhere we go. The white man is being erased from things. And it's a dangerous topic to talk about, to even mention this.
Yeah.
But because, you know, the whole routine that's being... There's never been greater division, in especially America, than right now, but across the globe, really. And this is all being engineered without question. What do I see with Hollywood? Well, realize that Disney has always been the media arm of the military from day one. They don't hide this. You can go watch Disney on the front lines. And that's all of their documentaries and military promotional cartoons that they made. They had, you know, cartoons on how to take out tanks. You know, the Donald Duck, he got more people to pay their taxes than anyone ever, any government campaign ever, right?
Right.
And they had this one that's called Education for Death. And I think you can see that even on YouTube. And that was the name of the film. And this was a film that did so well in convincing children to kill that the Nazis adopted it. And Disney's very proud of this. If you buy Disney on the Front Lines and you watch it, the narrator is all excited saying, you know, Joseph Goebbels adopted Walt Disney's techniques for making such a film and helping create the Nazi youth. And, you know, it was Disney that helped, you know, that the Nazis were following. So let's get that right, you know. And Wernher von Braun, of course, came over and came right on Disney. You know, he was on the Walt Disney Show talking about rockets, you know, and having crazy wild sex parties.
Yeah, most people don't even realize that.
You're right. Right. No. And now Disney owns everything, right? They own your Avengers. They own your Star Wars. They own your sports. They own your porn. They own everything. And now there's much to do in the conspiracy realms of people saying that Walt Disney was a 33rd degree Freemason. I'm sure you've heard this.
Yeah, definitely.
There's no proof of that. All right. So I hate to be the negative, like trying to battle conspiracy theories like that, but I would prefer you have proof, you know, in your conspiracy theories. Now, I can prove to you that Disney Corporation is absolutely Freemasonic, but I've been to the Florida Freemason Lodge. I've checked out Walt Disney's grave. I've checked out his funeral. I've checked out any. Now, the Masons, people don't realize they don't hide their memberships. They don't hide their members, especially within their lodges. So you can go to any lodge, and I highly recommend it. Go to Philadelphia Lodge. That one's amazing. Benjamin Franklin's Lodge. And I go to a lodge everywhere I go. I just want to see them. and they're more than happy to let you walk in and show you around. So I've seen Dr. Seuss. I've seen Ray Kroc. I've seen John Wayne. I've seen, you know, Buzz Aldrin, John Glenn, you know, Ronald Reagan, every prime minister of Australia. You know, they don't hide these people. So if Disney was a Mason, they would have a plaque, you know, somewhere that would be. I saw the altar that Roosevelt broke with his leg brace. You know what I mean? They don't hide this stuff. And so there is zero evidence to say that Walt Disney was a Mason. His brother was, Roy. You can clearly go find that, you know. But Walt was one of the original 100, well, he was just after the original 100 Knights of DeMolay, which is the Freemasonic Boy Scouts. But that's not to say that Disney Co., the corporation, is not Freemason. When you ride down Thunder Mountain, you will see H. Abiff's working tools. Only a Mason would know what that meant. That is the person you pretend to be in a Masonic ritual, is Hiram Abiff, and his working tools are all part of the ritual. So when you come down Thunder Mountain and there's a crate there, we have it on our book, Weird Stuff, if you want to see any of this stuff. I wrote those three books, or I produced them. Jamie wrote most of what was in there, and then I picked up certain parts, but I did all the art and work and stuff. But Weird Stuff, man, that's a... I wish I had a copy sitting here, because I don't think Weird Stuff gets around enough. I know there's George Bush's helicopter pilot used to leave copies of Weird Stuff around the Pentagon. So I'm getting out there in certain ways.
And now you always hear about the celebrity mind control, and you know they are the voice of what they want to get across. Talk a little bit about what you've researched about what they're doing to these celebrities. You know, I know many of them come from Disney. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, when you look at these children that suddenly show up on Disney's door, runaways at 14 and 12 years old, that they don't turn away, they turn into Mouseketeers. I mean, you look at Lisa from Facts of Life, that's what happened to her. She ran away from home, 12 years old. Suddenly she's allowed to be in the Mouseketeers. Nobody at Disney's trying to find her parents and send her home, you know? So, you know, Miley Cyrus, the list goes on and on of Mouseketeers that have come out, Justin Timberlake, and so yes, there is a form of mind control that occurs right there at the beginning. This was something that I didn't exactly know what I was getting into when I first started to study this. And when you start, I'm now great friends with Kathy O'Brien, who was, you know, the mind control slave of Hillary and Bill and George Bush, and yeah. So you start to learn that these people have no idea. They have no idea that they've been through this. They have no idea that they're mind control victims. They have no idea that anything has occurred to them. Everything seems to be erased. But if you just witnessed recently Britney leaving the clinic, I mean, oh my God, you know, who would let her walk out in the public like that? Her hair's everywhere. You know, she's all like staring off into space.
You gotta think that was shown intentionally.
Yeah. Exactly. You don't let them get away with it. Like, who is the girl that ran around with the chihuahua?
Paris Hilton, was it?
Paris Hilton, yes. Paris Hilton got a hold of the anti-panty club, which was, you know, Britney and, man, you know, I've forgotten all their names now. It's funny. What is her name? The redhead.
Oh, I'm not sure. Those were all early 2000s stars.
I always think of Jordan Maxwell, who says, I've forgotten more than you'll ever know. her name's right there on the edge of my tongue, but I can't think of it. But she got, Paris Hilton got a hold of that anti-panty club and started triggering them to do things like run around without their panties. And these were celebrities. And so what did they do to Paris? They treated her like a goyim and tossed her in jail for a few days so that she would, you know, brighten up and quit using the mind control slaves as her toys. At least that's what it appeared to be. you know, Anna Nicole was my awakening to that. And I started watching the court case over where Anna Nicole's body would end up. And this was very curious to me. Like, you know, they had gotten her to Jamaica and the laws in Jamaica were very different, especially when it came to her kids. So then who was this little Danny Lynn that was supposed to receive $1 billion from this Nazi oil tycoon, the 93-year-old J. Howard Marshall that Anne Nicole had been married to, right? Suddenly they married her to this 93-year-old Nazi oil tycoon and made fun of how he likes big breasts. And that was their only reasoning for this situation. But if you look into it, it's quite possible that little Danny Lynn is not exactly what we think. And so you start looking into how they've engineered different bloodlines and keep these things in power and such. And man, you know what? I have to go review all my films to try to remember all the minutia of how that all played out. Cause I don't want to get the facts wrong, but I'll have to sit here and think on the air for a minute of how Danny Lynn. Oh, okay. There were many people claiming to be the father of Anna Nicole's baby. Many said that, well, you know, we have these sex parties, these sex rituals, and nobody remembers. Well, one that was specific was Prince Frederick von Anhalt. And he came forward, and I got videotape on my Anna Nicole Brittany mind control film of him saying, you know, it's one of those nights where nobody really knows what happens in a weird orgy. And, you know, I'm the father of Anna Nicole's baby. And, well, you start digging into Prince Frederick von Anhalt, and you learn very quickly, without any confiscation, no hidden, that he keeps Zsa Zsa Gabor locked up in his house in a padlock. Now, you talk about early Hollywood, mind controls victims and things of that nature. They can't let this get out. So once you break, once you hit like 30 and you start to break your mind control, they do something to eradicate you, you know, the 28 Club and all of that, or 29 Club. They need to get rid of you. And Zsa Zsa Gabor, you can look this up, is held inside of this mansion by Prince Frederick von Anhalt, her husband, who keeps her locked up in the room in a padlock. Prince Frederick von Anhalt seems to be a boy from Brazil. So way back in the day when Hitler was looking towards his transhumanist future, he saved a bunch of semen in order to make the boys from Brazil, which would be Adolf Hitler's children. Well, it's said that Prince Frederick von Anhalt is one of those that they actually impregnated Gretel Braun, Eva Braun's sister, who was the sister of Hitler's actual wife, right? And produced Prince Frederick von Anhalt. So he's actually Hitler's child. And then if he impregnated Anna Nicole like he claims, then Danny Lynn is Hitler's granddaughter that's been now given $1 billion by a Nazi oil tycoon. Right, do the math, you know? So the whole thing about battling over where to keep the body and where to keep the people was that whoever kept Danny Lynn in Jamaica then got to keep everything. Because in Jamaica, you know, possession's 9/10 of the law. In America, if they could get Danny Lynn back, then... So Howard Stern would keep her in Jamaica, and the guy who claimed to be her father get to keep her in America. So that was the whole battle of how to keep her from. So that's what was going on with the Anna Nicole death story. And, you know, I don't know, I'm putting pieces together there, but yet their pieces are there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely crazy stuff. And one thing I notice now with the modern celebrities is that they go through a transformation. Like they show you through their music videos. They start out innocent and, you know, eventually they get more graphic and the videos get more raunchy until they're finally just, you know, making porn basically for their videos. Is this something that you've noticed? And is there some sort of like ritualistic reason behind this?
Well, it's mostly for the destruction of society. You know, it's social engineering to bring about these type of insolent children that are, you know, what we call the millennials or even worse. I mean, today, oh my God, it's crazy. But yeah, Miley Cyrus would be a classic example of that. She was Hannah Montana, Disney show, loved all the children. Everybody loved Hannah Montana. We did a Hannah Montana film where we went through every store. And we went for a year and filmed in every single store, from hardware stores to any store you could think of. And we found a Hannah Montana product in every single store, if not hundreds, like, you know, entire aisles of Hannah Montana in the aisles of Walmart and you know, Target and such. And we made this crazy film, you know, I called it Miley Cyrus Exposed. But so, yeah, there's Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, you know, constantly shown in a phallus position with her microphone on all the boxes and stuff, sold to all the children. Then she comes back as Miley Cyrus, and she's finally making her presentation to the world as herself. What's her first video? She comes out as a black angel with black wings, and she's in a cage. And the whole song is, you can't tame this, you can't stop this, you can't change me. And so all the little girls are singing this, you know, you can't change me, I'm going to do what I want to do. You can't stop me, I'm in control of everything. And that's the type of mentality that they're building. Then you go over to Katy Perry, and she starts coming out with like E.T. And I made a video on this in my Aliens from Hell presentation. E.T. is, let me be your victim. Fill me with your poison. I want to have your supernatural extraterrestrial baby, which is the next layer of this puzzle as we start to get into supernatural communication with extraterrestrials and having, you know, incubus, succubus, having babies with our children. That's what little girls are singing to with Katy Perry. You know, fill me with your poison, inject me with your, you know, it's crazy. So yes, that is, it's social engineering on one main level, and it's also ritual magic on another, you know. They two kind of play together.
And that also kind of ties in with the transhumanism movement as well. I mean, we have people trying to get rights to basically become animals or inanimate objects. You know, it's getting ridiculous now, the lengths that people are being allowed to go to do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gender, I mean, the whole, how many genders are there now? I've lost count. And yeah, this has all been, you know, a big plan to destabilize the social core, the family core, and to always distract you from your true powers, which lie within synchronicity, communication, making connections and bonds with other people. That whole thing has been lost. I mean, especially with the World Wide Web and social media, now it's ego, you know, over and over again, it's just ego. And can I outdo this? Can I outdo that? And it's all just about destroying the central core. You know, it's been a long plan from the Frankfurt plan in our schools and all of that, just to bring about the dissolution of the family core and having nothing that you can believe in. I actually consider heavy metal and Christianity on the same level. It's funny that they're battling one another, but if the Christians would recognize that they're also, there's metal gate, is what we call it, in the destruction of heavy metal, because heavy metal inspires people to feel sovereign. And there's been tests done on people listening to heavy metal. They don't get aggressive or angry. They feel empowered. And it's same with Christianity. And you go into your church, you know, and so there's a Christian gate and there's a metal gate, and the Christians will never realize that they're on the same plane as heavy metal and trying to save the world.
But right. Yeah, and I also see a suppression of consciousness, basically, that they don't want us exploring the powers of our consciousness. And, you know, especially with the advent of AI, they want to integrate us with computer systems. They want us to lose basically what we are as humans.
Yeah, without question. And when you start to look into the early days of transhumanism, I mean, I learned it from occultists. They were the first ones going, I can't wait to jack in, you know? And I just talked to physicist Dr. Richard Allen Miller, who was talking about how really when you look at a computer, it really is a magic spell. You know, just that whole idea that you can engineer a ritual, a grimoire, and then set it into motion inside of the computer is very much like a ritual spell. But yeah, we've definitely, there's this whole point of engineering children that have no parents, that have no ties to anything, so that, and then the consciousness, yes, they don't want you seeking out synchronicity. They don't want you, like, I was a nomad, right? So at 16 years old, I became a beach bum. I just was not built for the real world, and I couldn't do it, right? So I just went and lived in my car at the beach, you know. I didn't think about it. I didn't question it. And in the same way, I jumped in a van and just started traveling across the country. Never guessed, never questioned, didn't even know where I was going and didn't know how to take care of myself or anything. And when people ask me after I return after a year or summer or something, however long I was gone, they're like, well, how did you get gas? How did you get food? Where'd you sleep? And it wasn't until I was asked that I ever even thought of those things. It's just every day there was something new and it led me to something and I got fed and I did this and I did that and I did more than anyone I know. You know, I've probably lived 3 or 4 lifetimes already compared to what most people go through in their lives, because I was a nomad for so long. So I quickly learned that there was a higher power in my universe that was guiding me. And, you know, it just, the amount of miracles that happened, the amount of times that something came where you're like, how could that be? It was just so many. You know, they sound simple when you tell somebody, well, we were sitting at this restaurant, we needed money, and somebody came and gave my friend a letter and it had money in it. And then we were moving and we were trying to get to this place. Now we had a little bit of money and somebody else showed up and said, hey, I need a ride. And we're like, yeah, but we got to go here. And they said, well, that's where I'm going, you know. And so things would just fall into line, you know, and there's no way you could have planned it. No way you could have. And so that, as I traveled for 20, 25 years, you know, that started to close. The iron fist was closing. The places where I was free to hang out were no longer like in Boulder, Colorado. They started putting up fences all over. You couldn't walk down the street with a dog anymore. Little things that would just inhibit the free people from traveling around. Backpacks not allowed. You know, fences all around the lawns. People play, you know, putting spikes on chairs and stuff, you know. And we were slowly, I was squeezed into the real world. I didn't want to be here. And then I got the TV show, which, you know, I did for free for years. You know, I didn't charge for anything for a decade. So I was still living on couches the whole damn time. But, you know, this works. And this is something they don't want people to figure out. I run around saying, quit your job, save the world. And people don't really get the gist of what I'm saying, because they think that we have to think out every system in order to project ourselves into the future. And I'm saying, no, actually, there is a cosmic guidance that will lead you forward if you allow it. And if you go, you got to go. You got to go meet the people. You got to talk, you know. Friendship was my currency, is what I would say. But everything couldn't have gone better. Like, if I had tried to plan it, it would have never worked.
Right. So they definitely want you plugged in and not, you know, free to explore your own consciousness and do what you want to do. Now, one of the other things I want to talk about is something you've done a lot of research on, is corporate logos being used as sigils or, you know, magical symbols. Where does that come from and what are they using them for?
Actually, my work got adopted, fantasized, and sensationalized. My work on corporate logos would be a lot more boring to most people. And as a matter of fact, I had to update my work and call it Illuminati corporate logos, because that's what people will Google. But what I witnessed from signs and symbols around me were secret signs of Freemasons. So it was no shock to me when Starbucks became the most popular coffee because of their Masonic logo. And so if you go to my work, if you go to freemantv.com and you look up, and I'm telling you, I created this concept, right? It didn't exist. Dan Brown didn't exist. You know, before I had my TV show out before Da Vinci Code ever existed, you know? So it's easy now for people to act like they know everything about Freemasonry at this point, which they don't. You know, you go to my photography section, you'll see I've been to every Mason Lodge there is, you know, all of the big ones for sure, and a lot of the little ones and all of the other esoteric lodges. So I'm out doing my homework is what I'm saying. And I saw David Icke. He took my artwork on corporate logos in one of his very first talks and put that big old Illuminati eye stuck on it. And I was furious. I mean, I was excited that I saw my work on David Icke's lecture. Not that he knew of me or my work or anything. But then he had defiled it by putting this big eye in the pyramid with an eye in it saying Illuminati corporate logos. And I had to change how I said things in order to interest people and get them to come look at the real data. Because point to the Illuminati for me. And if you can find the Illuminati using an eye in a pyramid symbolism, I want to know about it because I can't find it.
And there's so much disinformation about just the word Illuminati.
Well, exactly. It became a catch-all term, you see. So all of a sudden, and I think it was probably David Icke. And they, you know, you don't think about those sort of things when you're doing it. Like when David Icke would give a lecture about the Illuminati, he means, you know, the bloodlines. Or if you were listening to Myron Fagan and he was talking about the Illuminati, he was talking about the actual Illuminati, the Bavarian Illuminati, and he was relating it to the Council on Foreign Relations. So if you go to Myron Fagan, then that's the Illuminati, which would be more sense. Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, all of those guys, the social engineers.
Right. But
then this term Illuminati took on this whole other connotation of these wizards that are at high and can control everything from, you know, their magical puppet strings. When initially corporate logos that you see aren't magic spells, even if there's a pentagram on Texaco, which took me forever to find a picture of, you know, there were no Google images back then either. I had to drive around and take pictures or film the corporate logos in order. And I was in Texas. I thought I'd find a Texaco no problem to get a pentagram out there and show you what I was talking about. But man, I couldn't find it. Anyway, So what you see and what I saw was after a deep study into Freemasonry, because my dad being one made me very interested. I read Morals and Dogma. I read all of the Masonic works. I know every ritual. I know every aspect of it. I even translate their coded books because I love to do things like that. You know, figure out the code, figure it out. But you can't figure out their code unless you know the ritual. You know, if you know what's happening with the worshipful master and the warden, then you can fill in the code, you know. So I have coded books from my dad of Eastern Mediterranean pass rituals and all these other rituals that are, you know, not known to the general public. Now you can get these rituals online. You can go look at Freemason rituals and you'll find it online. Very small. Most of them come from this book called Maha Bone, which I own. It's actually sitting right up there. Maha Bone is the most secret word of a Freemason. So what had happened is you take a secret society who doesn't really have any interest in magic per se. Now, which the Freemasons, they don't care. You know, my dad's like, I'm like, did you read this Morals and Dogma? And he's like, I don't read any of that gobbledygook. You know, they don't care about that. They're in the Masons to get the good gigs, you know, to do high. You know, you're not going to get a top secret clearance generally if you're not already a part of the Brotherhood, you know.
Right.
You're not going to be on Killer One with Jimmy Carter and stuff, you know, like my dad. So the Freemasons aren't as intriguing as people wish they were. Now, sure enough, up on other levels. But then there's, you know, there's different orders within Freemasonry. So then you got all that. Then if you went to an OTO lodge where they're having a sex orgy ritual, you'll find many Masons in there, you know, because a lot of Masons are interested in magic, but they'll never admit it in the Mason lodge. But in the OTO Lodge, they'll say, yeah, I'm a Mason, you know, they'll admit it during the sex ritual, but they won't admit it at, you know, that they've been to the sex ritual when they're around their brethren. And so most Freemasonry is, you know, this idea of generosity and charity and taking care of others. And if you read Morals and Dogma, it never once says that Lucifer is God. That's another thing people say all the damn time. Obviously never read Morals and Dogma because it doesn't say that anywhere. It does say strange name to give to the being of light. That's all it says. That's the only mention of Lucifer in Morals and Dogma. And I'm not saying they're not Luciferians. I'm just saying get your facts straight. You know what I mean? Like, they're not called the Illuminati. They're called the Freemasons. They're not worshiping Lucifer in Morals and Dogma, but they probably will tell you that they do worship Lucifer. But when they say Lucifer, they mean Prometheus. You know what I mean? They don't mean Satan or the devil. Yes. And so, you know, it's language, right? So anyway, corporate logos, when you're looking at them, you're seeing Masonic signs of allegiance so that one corporation can recognize another and then they get raised up, you know? So it's the whole wink and nod. So Texaco and Shell, there's a classic example. That's Venus. The pentagram is a symbol of Venus And then it has the Tau cross for the Texaco, which is the magical religious emblem, you know, part of it. And then a shell for shell is another sign of Venus. And Venus is our goddess, or their goddess, which again is Lucifer in the dictionary. If you look up Lucifer in the dictionary, you'll see it's Venus. But that's our goddess Columbia. And she's often depicted like in Austin, Texas. Now this is where it gets really weird. So in Austin, Texas, there's a depiction of our goddess Columbia. Now, people know that our capital is the District of Columbia, but it seems I was the only person to ask, well, who is Columbia? So I made an entire film about that. And it turns out that it really relates back to Lucifer, but Lucifer as Venus. And if you get to the clock tower where Charles Whitman, the mind control military sniper, shot everybody from the Texas Tower on UT. Now, that tower, that's right where Aleister Crowley's handwritten work of the Book of the Law is housed. So why is that there, right? So the handwritten works of that that were channeled from the pyramids that got Crowley to write the Book of the Law is right there at the UT Tower. And then there's this giant, well, then there's George Washington as a Mason. And then there's this beautiful Columbia with her wings spread on a boat being drawn forth by mermen, you know, fish beings like Aquaman, you know. And to her right, you'll see a shell. To her left, you'll see a pentagram. And then directly in front of her is the Capitol Dome of Austin. And on top of the Capitol Dome is another goddess who looks just like Semiramis from the ancient Sumerian. Semiramis. I mean, they say that they made the goddess on top of the Capitol of Austin look weird so that she would look normal from the ground. So that when you look at her face, it looked normal. But that's not true. You can't even see her face, for one. But if you hold up a picture of the goddess on the Capitol Dome of Austin, Texas, holding a pentagram again, then you and put Semiramis up, you'll see it's Sumerian goddess that they have on top of the Austin, Texas. So now what you have is an obelisk, a dome, and a pentagram, right, with the goddess who represents Isis. All of these together are symbols from ancient Egypt of Sirius. And then you find that the Freemasons worship Sirius. And all of a sudden that pentagram takes on a whole nother meaning, because within Freemasonry, the pentagram is known as the blazing star, which is Sirius. So now you find an extraterrestrial connection that these brethren actually are all worshiping this star, Sirius. And our goddess Columbia, Isis, Lucifer, all relate to that same story.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Still interesting, but not as exciting for people as this Illuminati.
Well, right. But I mean, I'd rather hear what the real story is rather than this sensationalized BS that they're putting out, you know?
Absolutely.
Now, we've got a few minutes left. For the last few minutes, I'd like to talk about some of the just events going on right now that are unbelievably strange. I don't do politics. I think every president is just a puppet. But Trump it's very strange times with him. Some of the things that's going on around this presidency, we've got the Space Force. That alone is just blowing my mind.
Which I predicted.
And all these other things that are happening, with just him kind of pushing the envelope on just things that are being said. And it seems like agendas are being pushed in a certain way so that things will happen during the next election. What are your thoughts on everything going on right now? And with the censorship that's going on, it looks like they're trying to take down any platform we have. What do you see happening from now in the next 5-10 years?
Well, I got to say, I love the Joe Biden molestation memes. They're hilarious. Even Donald Trump is tweeting these, you know. And I just recently saw that JFK called Joe Biden a traitor. I don't know. I have to look deeper into that, but I saw it in a letter from JFK. Okay, so this is what I saw. And this was what kind of triggered me right from the get-go. When Bill Clinton was brought into the world court, that's what I call it. They put him on television about having extramarital affair with his secretary, Monica Lewinsky. Okay. Step A, you do not diminish your president in front of the world, right? This is just not something you do. You think JFK didn't have affairs. You think that all the presidents didn't have hookers and affairs. You know, right. You don't promote that. So when I saw Bill Clinton turning purple in front of the world, as they mentioned insertions of cigars into his secretary, and I knew that this was an act of social engineering. And this triggered me right then to say, okay, I actually basically predicted 9/11 at that moment. Now, I expected 9/11 to occur during the Bill Clinton era. So I was waiting for it every October, you know, waiting right into that time, waiting to see if something would come up. And I talked about it for years. You know, I have witnesses. This is, you know, everything I say, you can go check out and back up everything, you know. So I'm watching them take Bill Clinton down, and I'm thinking, okay, where would they go with this? This is my mind, how I would do it. So if they're going to destroy the man, which they brought out to the public as our first president that was kind of a dude, right? He's playing a saxophone on Jay Leno or whatever he was on. What was that? I can't remember. But, you know, they got him on TV being a dude, being all of that. Okay, so they take that man down and they bring him down for an extramarital affair, something nobody really cares about at all. Hillary's a cold bitch, man, you know, whatever. Yeah, he's getting a little on the side with his secretary. Who cares? But you don't diminish your president. So why are they doing this? So they're going to diminish the man. So I said, all right, the next thing to happen is they're going to force the president in office. And then I hear the rumblings of this W. And now as a Kabbalistic researcher, I knew W was the sign and symbol of the fallen angels. That's what W stands for. And that's also 666, because in Hebrew, 6 is V. So W is really a double V, right? It's double V, not a double U. But anyway, so it's a double 6, 66. It's the mark of the fallen angels. So when I heard this W arising, I said, okay, W is going to be forced into office and they'll make it obvious. So sure enough, he was forced into obvious. They blamed it all on Jeb Bush, and everybody believed the story, right? But this diminished the idea of elections and voter fraud, right? And so then the next thing I said, all right, so now they need an ineligible president, someone who violates the Constitution. And sure enough, Barack Obama comes to play and the birther movement starts. And they have this Orly Tates heading it. She can't even speak English. Obviously, they didn't want anyone to really take off on this. But, you know, the birth certificate was known by everybody, right? Like, everybody knew the birth certificate was a fraud. This was intentional. Of course, I personally believe Obama was created in a cloning lab, but that's a different story. So the social engineering was to destroy the man, then destroy the system, and then destroy the Constitution. So now we're up to Barack Obama. So now I have what I call the honey boo-boo effect, which is making the rest of the world see America as a bunch of dumb rednecks that just want to kill anybody. And so that we are easily attacked by foreign forces, no one will care, right? It's part of the world scheme to make us look like honey boo-boo to the rest of the world. So President Trump was a perfect honey boo boo candidate. You know, like, no one respects the guy and no one's going to take any, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel scraping this president up into our scene. But at the same time, I feel like he's kind of a chaos trigger. But so for me, this was the plan from Bill Clinton on forward to the destruction of America to go to the global system. And then it's been a question of, would they keep a semblance of our elections and having presidents, or would we just go ahead and open it straight to the UN? And so that's something that I'm still watching, but we're seeing this form. Kazakhstan is a place that very few people ever look at, but look at Astana. And when you see my film called New World Capitals, you'll see that Astana and other of these pre-planned cities are set up as ancient sigils of magic. Now you're getting into that with the seals of Solomon that are being used as plans. Just like DC had the pentagrams and all of that in the street plans, the new planned cities like Astana houses the world religion, which is housed in the Pyramid of Peace. And this is this futuristic world in Astana in Kazakhstan where all the rockets are being launched. Like, America hardly launches at all. Elon Musk and the space, SpaceX, they're doing all the launching. But, you know, what do you see from NASA, right? But Kazakhstan, they're launching to the International Space Station all the time. They are the main focus of the rockets. So we witnessed as NASA fell, and I watched this happen, just to bring this into the Space Force and all of this. I knew NASA was going down when they started the Ares program, and they started also then training the NASA astronauts on the SpaceX Dragon capsules. So the NASA astronauts were being led over to the public sector and being in that, and the NASA program was going more military with the Ares program. And so it wasn't much to guess that they were going to end the whole Columbia endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, which was our space shuttle system, and bring about the new Space Force. And sure enough, hey, check this out. I got the first ever minted Space Force coin.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And notice it says 41 Trump.
Right, yeah.
So that's a minted Space Force coin at the Space Force over the White House. And that came from Donald Trump Collectibles. I had to have it. Had to have it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a solid piece of metal. But, okay, so that leads us to our future of, you know, Gattaca, where, like, we started saying that people are walking into airports and realizing that they don't need tickets, and all of a sudden all their biometrics are known by the airports, and they never supplied that information in the first place, you know? So we're there. We're already in the prison of this social engineered system of the beast, which is like Elon Musk said, you know, if we let AI go, then you're creating your own immortal demonic dictator, you know? And here we go.
What are some of the things we can do as individuals, if anything, to kind of combat this so we can have a future?
Well, I definitely recommend just, okay, so first of all, I've never given any of my information to create fear. My information has always been to create freedom. And so once you know that this plan is going on, once you know there are dark magicians in this, or once you know there's social engineering's Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commercial, or people like Hillary Clinton, then you have an excuse to walk away, you know? Why not? You don't serve this system. It doesn't serve you. So the whole purpose of me bringing this to the surface was tell you that you could quit. And I recommend taking a sojourn, taking a journey. Every spring, I just get in my van and I go. I don't know where I'm going. I've driven 100 miles and said, oh, I don't know where I'm going. And you need to go out but it's a real trial. You know, it's something that you have to make friends. You have to be an open person. You have to challenge yourself with it. But you never know what will occur and how wonderful it will be. So I say go out, and if you need a guide, then read The Celestine Prophecies by James Redfield, because that book came out a few years after I started my travels. And after I read it, I said, okay, that's what I'm doing. Like, it defined it for me. Like, this is how I actually operate. I didn't have a book like this, but now that I read it, I see this is what I'm doing, and it works. And when I met James Redfield, I asked him about it, and he said, well, I was just taking what was going on in psychology now, and I wrote a story out of it as our new understanding of psychology. And sure enough, synchronicity is the key. It's the only way out. There's no way to battle the system. You can't do it. If you're in opposition, you can't win.
Very well said. And Freeman, I want to thank you so much again for coming on tonight. That was excellent information. And I'm definitely going to have you back on again.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Yeah, and get everybody over to freemantv.com to dig deep. You know, 15 years of stuff, 7 DVDs, 3 books, lectures galore. There's whole conferences on my website for you to dig in.
Definitely. I'm going to leave the link to all of that in the description. And once again, thank you so much, and you have a great night.
You too. We'll see you next time.